Where there was hate, love now abides. And where there was confusion, peace now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm a child of the King. And it's all because I am redeemed. I'll tell of God's favor, I'll tell you of His love, I'll tell of His goodness, God's goodness to me. For He purchased my redemption with His own precious blood, and from sin I've been set free. Amen, church. Boy, I'm glad to know I'm redeemed. Amen. I'm glad to know I've been covered by the blood, aren't you? Amen. Not everybody at one time. Are you glad you're saved this morning? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's better. It's great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day. Please be much in prayer for the services today. This morning, if you would pray for me, I have the message here in a few moments. Brother Brian is in revival this week, so that's where he is today. So please remember him. He'll be there, I guess, is it Monday through Friday? Sunday through Friday? Sunday through Wednesday. So please remember him in prayer. I know he'd appreciate that. But it is great to see you this morning. If you're visiting with us, thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. But let's go to him in a word of prayer this morning and just ask God's blessing on the service today. CJ, would you lead us to the Lord in a word of prayer? Amen. If you will stand with us, church, this morning, join the choir, and we're going to sing a couple of courses of that that says something about that name, the name of Jesus.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Let's sing it again. Worship the Lord this morning.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, he's Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, sweet Jesus, oh Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. And kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Yes, there's something about that name.
Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, it's so good to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. A couple of prayer requests. Of course, I mentioned Brother Brian a few moments ago. Please remember him for this week. But also, please remember Miss Glenda. She is not here with us this morning. She had kind of an eventful day yesterday. And if you will, just lift her up in prayer this morning. I know that she would appreciate it. She's just not able to be with us this morning. She had to take a little trip over to the hospital yesterday. Gave her some fluids. She was able to come home. But just please remember her in prayer. And I know that she would appreciate that, as well as Brother David. So please remember them in prayer. Also, if you were able to make it over to the wedding yesterday, that I understand that was a beautiful event. And it was just a great time, I'm sure, for you. I wish I could have been there. I actually had a wedding yesterday myself. So just please continue to pray for Eli and Chrissy. And I know that the Lord is going to bless them and their lives together. But thank you for all of you who were able to make it over to that wedding yesterday. Miss Darlene's got something that she would like to share with you this morning concerning that. Very good. That's very thoughtful, and we appreciate that, Ms. Darlene. That'd be a great opportunity for you to share. Probably one of the most important things that you could share with a couple would be some verses from the Word of God. So I know that will be they'll love that. They'll cherish that for all their lives together. So please remember that. Also, the shoe boxes. Don't forget about that. We're still we are in need of some funds for the shoe box. Everything is down here in the front. If you want to help, place some money in the jar over there. I'm sure it's probably still over there. So please do that if you can. But please remember to pray concerning that ministry. That's exactly what it is. And we thank you for all of those who have already contributed and those that will help in the days to come. We appreciate that already in advance. Please remember the service this evening. is at 5 o'clock downstairs in the fellowship hall. CJ has the message for tonight, so please be much in prayer for him through the day as he makes preparations for this evening. But 5 o'clock downstairs, please remember that. Anything else that I may be forgetting? All right, very well. But again, thank you. If you're visiting with us, thank you again for being here today. And I hope you feel welcome in the house of the Lord today. And we'll just worship the Lord together. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Y'all are on it. Y'all are on it. All right, let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering. Brother Larry, would you lead us to the Lord this morning in a word of prayer? We're just going to sing a couple of choruses this morning. If you want to join in with us, you feel welcome to as we just worship the Lord together. Choir, let's sing, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Something beautiful. Sing it with us, church. Something beautiful, something good. All I have confusions, for He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something out of my life. Sing it one more time. You got it now. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful out of my life. Amen. Great job this morning. I want to share something I believe this morning that the Lord has for us. And if you will pray for me today, I'd greatly appreciate that. Yesterday, I said a few moments ago, I had a wedding. And my wedding was last night at 6 o'clock. I had worked at the funeral home all day. I rushed home, changed suits, jumped in the car, and headed to Atlanta, GA. Yeah. And I saw several things yesterday that I'd never seen before. The venue where I was is right next to Piedmont Park. Enough said. But I was driving down through there, trying my best to follow my Google Maps to get to my destination. And it was going pretty well. But people down there are crazy. Not just down there, but down there, they bad crazy. And they turn, and they'll make a U-turn right in the middle of the road. They're going down the wrong side of the road. I mean, there's people parked all up and down through there. I thought, it's a Saturday, so it won't be so bad. If it gets any worse, they might as well just shut her down. Amen? But I was traveling down through there, and I saw something I don't believe I have ever seen before. And it was taxis or Uber cars with no drivers. Scary is not the word for it. I'm driving down through there and I'm just trying to make it to where I'm trying to go to. Nobody down there seems to know which way to go. There are more scooters. Maybe this is a good thing. I don't know. There are more scooters down there and electric bicycles now than there are cars. And they just park those things everywhere. And I'm thinking,
how do you think you're going to park that there and somebody's not going to steal it? You know? But whatever. But they're everywhere down there. And they're going every which way. All kinds of turns. But I looked over there, and I wouldn't have believed it had I not seen it with my own eyes. I'm sitting at a red light at 10th Street. You understand? And coming around the corner, and those Uber cars, those taxis, whatever you want to call them, they got this radar thing up on the top, and that thing's like, and I'm like, what in the world is that? And he made a turn right there in front of me, and I looked over, and I thought, unbelievable. I took my glasses off and wiped them off. I thought, I'm not seeing this right. And they're everywhere down there. There's not just one. They're everywhere. It was taking a left on to 10th Street with no driver. Now, the good thing was is there was also no one in the car. Have anybody in here, have you experienced that? Anybody? Some of you young folks probably have you done it? You get into a vehicle where there is no driver. Sometimes it might be better. I've seen some of y'all drive. It might not be such a bad thing. But I would never believed it had I not seen it with my own eyes. It was unbelievable. Who would have ever thunk it? I don't know who was in control of those cars. There's got to be some kind of remote control office somewhere, I guess. Maybe they've got radar and all maps. And I don't know. Maybe we'll experience it one day. But I doubt it. But I don't know who was in control of those cars yesterday, but I do know one thing. And this morning, I can assure you that you will feel the same way. I do know, Brother Don, who is in control of my life. Hallelujah. And I do know this morning, not only is he in control of my life, but he's also in control of my problems. Is there anybody in here that say, Brother Allen, I don't have problems? What I thought. He's also in control of all of my situations. God is in control. Or is he? I wonder if he really is. You see, in order for him to be in control of your life, you must, too, give him the controls of your life. You ever heard somebody say, well, they're just a control freak? All of us are, I'm afraid, at one time or another. We want to have control. And I wonder this morning, how many times do we sit and worry about things? You say, no, you've mentioned this several times over the past few months. Maybe there's a reason for it. You see, I've been asking the Lord all week, Brother Ceylon, to give me a message for this morning. And I'll be real honest with you. All through the week, I kept praying, saying, Lord, I'm ready when you are. Could you just give me a message? Give me a word for Sunday morning. A word for your people. A word for me. And I don't know about you, but honestly, here it goes. I get a little worried when it's Saturday and nothing has come clear to me from the Lord. How many times do we worry and we wring our hands and wonder, how in the world is this going to work out? Well, yesterday morning, maybe Friday, the Lord started whispering. You see, the problem is I don't always hear him because I'm not always listening. Amen? Oh, I must be by myself. I don't always hear him because I'm afraid I'm not always listening. But yesterday, he began, that still small voice began to speak to me, Brother Don. And he said, I got something for you. But I had to, you understand, pull away from the world for a little while and sit down and let the Lord speak to me so that I could come in this morning and speak to you. You see, I had to take my hands off the controls and let him be the one that was doing the driving, you understand. And I sat down with him for a few moments yesterday, from time to time during the day, but yesterday evening, he began to signal in clearly what he would have for us this morning. How many times do we say, or hear someone say, I'm about to worry myself sick? Do you understand that worry will make you sick? I know I've said that before too. Is that not the truth though? Amen? Worry will make us sick. I'm just about to worry myself sick. Can I tell you that God, not only does he never sleep or slumber, amen? That's the word, right? But he didn't, if he never sleeps or slumbers, then he didn't wake up this morning and say, oh my goodness, Brother Allen's supposed to be preaching this morning and I forgot to give him a message. Boy, I'd be a nervous wreck for sure this morning. You know, God didn't wake up this morning and say, oh my goodness, Brother Ceylon had that prayer request that he brought me the other day, him and Miss Catherine, and they are counting on me. He doesn't worry. He doesn't sit. He's not sitting on his throne this morning, Brother Don, wringing his hands over our problems and situations. Amen? Boy, I'm so glad of that this morning. I'll be honest with you. I'm so glad that I don't know what to do. Because I'm glad to know that God has it under control. If you will this morning, turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 6. And we're going to start in verse number 2, and we're going to read a few verses. And I want to talk to you about something this morning. I don't really have 3 points and a prayer, not even 2 points and a prayer, but I believe I have the word for you this morning and for myself that I believe will help us out maybe in the days to come. And that is with this thought in mind. Don't worry. Only believe. Don't worry. Only believe. Why? Because God is in control. In the book of John, chapter number 6, we're going to begin with verse number 2. John chapter 6 and verse number 2 says, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. I would even say we could add right there and deceased. We read in God's word how he even has raised those from the dead. You remember Lazarus? You remember Jairus' daughter? We'll talk about that again here in a few minutes. In verse number 3 it says, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh or near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him. For he himself, speaking of Jesus, knew what he would do. You believe God's got it under control? Amen. Now, most of us have heard and read and preached. I have preached messages on these particular scripture many times. Brother Ceylon, I'm sure that you have taught many of us teachers, many of us who preach the word, many of us have been in classes and been in services where you have heard this particular passage of scripture and how wonderful and how powerful that it is. We've heard it over and over. I preached on it. You've heard many others preach on it and teach on it. Many of us have taught on this, and we've called it many different things. If you continue to read there, we know that now we have, it spoke of 5,000 that were on a hillside here. They were following Jesus. And Jesus, because of the crowd, he gets his disciples together and they sat down over here on the mountainside. And you've got this great multitude of people, the Bible says, that have followed him, and they are there with them now on the mountainside, maybe down in the valley, if you will. And we've called this message a lot of different things. We've called it the little lad that gave all he had. You remember the rest of this scripture talks about feeding the 5,000, right? It could have well have been maybe 15,000 there if we were to really take a good count. Because if you take 5,000, each one of them had a wife and maybe just one child, do the math. That could have been as well, at least as many as 15,000 people there on the hillside. So we know that there was a little lad that brought all that he had. We may have even said the little sack lunch and called it that. We may have even went into the bottom part of the verses, those scriptures, where they had, y'all remember how many baskets they had left over? 12 baskets full. I've brought a message before, the lesson of the leftovers. And man, that's a great message. It just make a fellow want to shout just to read through those scriptures over and over again. And that's really good stuff. But I want us to look at one particular verse. I've read it, you've read it, over and over, but I'm afraid that many times we get to verse number 6, and we have just skimmed over it, trying to get to all the good stuff about the 5 loaves and the 2 little fish. And in verse number 6, it says this, "And this he said to prove him. For he himself knew," Jesus knew what he would do. Jesus himself knew what he would do. But this morning, I want us to get the truth and the power that is given to us in this verse number 6. Would you agree with me this morning that God has all power? Would you agree with me this morning that God knows all things? He knows the end before we ever knew the beginning. He knows what you're going through this morning. He knows what I'm going through. Of course we would agree that God has all power. Of course we would agree this morning that God knows all things. Nothing takes him by surprise. We didn't get up this morning and God be wringing his hands thinking, how in the world are we going to be able to take care of all of these problems? He has everything under control. Here in these verses, Jesus turns to his disciples and he gives them a challenge. Do we not realize this morning that the Lord is still giving his disciples a challenge? You say, what do you mean? We are children of the Most High God. Amen? We are children of God. We have been born into the family of God. That makes us his children. Amen? And we this morning are also his disciples. Now, years ago, if somebody got saved, we had a little class for them, and we would give them some discipleship training. Y'all remember that? We used to call it something. Anybody remember? Some kind of training. Disciples training? What else did we call it? Anybody remember? I don't either. It'll come to me in a minute. But we used to, Somebody will catch on to that in a minute. We had these training things, though. Then we would bring young Christians and those that had just gotten saved, we'd bring them in, and we would try and make disciples out of them. We in this room this morning, if we have been saved by His marvelous grace, are His disciples. That means that we're supposed to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel those to come to Christ. Amen? I wonder this morning, are we truly being disciples? Are we truly following the Lord in that endeavor? Do we realize this morning that we too are disciples, and He is giving us challenges? He allows us to go through things to cause us to realize that we need Him in order to take care of those things in our life. In order to get through those challenges, we must realize that we need the Lord. Can't you just, with me for a few moments, if you will, can't you just get a mental picture of the scene? This great crowd of people is following Jesus because they have seen and witnessed His miracles which He had done. And Jesus goes up on a mountain. And He sits down with His disciples. Look with me in verse number 5. In verse 5 it says, "When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Challenge number 1. Where are we going to get the food, Philip, to take care of these people? Now Philip answered him. I can almost imagine Philip's there and he's got his pencil behind his ear and he's got his tablet and he's trying to figure this all out, and he takes his pencil and he begins to add it up. And the Bible says that in verse number 7 it says, Philip answered him. Jesus asked him a question. He gave him a challenge, and Philip answers. And he's ciphering and he's a figuring. Philip answered him, I can just see it. He's marching back and forth and he says, because he must have been the treasurer, if you will, in this group. The treasurer among the 12. If we had 2 pennyworth, what's 2 pennyworth? I wrote down, I done a little studying, that would be something to the effect of 200 days' wages. Now, he said, if we had 200 days' wages, in which we don't, but even that, we couldn't buy enough that everybody in this crowd would get just a little bit. He's still ciphering. He's still trying to figure it out. And he asks Philip, and he gives him a challenge. Can't you imagine that he's walking back and forth? Anybody ever watch Andy Griffith? About everybody in the building. If you hadn't, you missed it. You need to go back and find you some Andy Griffith and go back and watch it. Because there's a lot of lessons to be learned from that. Amen? That's some of the greatest TV ever been on. Hallelujah. But you remember when Barney would get the group together and he's trying to get him some, he's fixing to deputize a bunch of folks. He's got Goober. Yeah. And he's got Otis. And who was that old fellow that worked in the bank that every time he picked up his gun, it fell apart? Y'all remember that? Can't you see old Barney? And when he would walk back and forth, he'd say, "Now, men." Y'all remember that? I love that. "Now, men." And that's exactly what Philip's doing. He's got the whole group set down there on the grass. And he stands up and he says, "Now, men, according to my ciphering and a figuring, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient if we had it, and we don't. That wouldn't even be enough for everyone to take a little." Here they are. Jesus says, where are we going to get this kind of food to be able to take care? You know why he said that? There ain't no Kroger's. They didn't have the Publix like we got down here behind the church. They didn't have a Piggly Wiggly, a Food Lion, or a Food Depot. I don't know where CJ is, but he would truly be out of luck because they didn't have a racetrack gas station. Y'all have all seen that and followed that, haven't you? No racetrack. Not even a 7-Eleven. So they are in trouble, out of luck to buy anything. And then comes Andrew. Now, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, who must have been on the board of directors, if you will, he stands up, clears his throat, and he makes this announcement from the board. There's a lad here, though. He thinks he's got the answer. But there is a lad here that has brought his sack lunch. And in endeavoring into this, being the board of directors, I have noticed that he has 5 loaves and 2 little fish. Can't you imagine the rest of the disciples, the smirk on their face when they looked at him? He's trying to play this thing down real quick because they think this guy's a nut. And he's our board of directors. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I imagine he tried to figure out how in the world am I going to diffuse this before they start laughing and rolling around out here on the grass. But now again, in verse number 6, he says that Jesus just said, and this he said to prove him, and for himself knew what he would do. He knew what he would do. He knew before they ever got there what he's going to do, because he knows all things. So we said that we know and believe that God knows all things. So this God that we serve, because we are disciples, this God that we serve, who could not die, he's alive, amen? He could not die, figured out a way to die. You ever thought about that? The God who has been alive and created everything from the beginning has figured out a way to die so we would not have to die and go to a place called hell. He figured out a way to die and taste death. This God who could not be tempted figured out a way that he could be tempted yet without sin. This God, Brother Ceylon, who had no flesh and no blood, he was a spirit. And we know that because the Bible teaches us those that worship him must worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. Amen. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And yet he figured out a way that he could come down to earth and take on flesh, and die on a old rugged cross, and look down through the ages of time, Brother Larry, and know that when he was on the cross, that you were on his mind. And he made a way that you and I could be saved. We ought to all be on our feet at one time. Amen? I'm so glad to know that God has got it all figured out, and it's all under his control. Now, here we have what could very well be 15,000 people with women and children. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He wasn't worried. He wasn't wringing his hands. But he gives them a challenge. He does the same for you and I today. He gives us a challenge. He knows where you are. He knows what's on your heart. I was going down the road Saturday, and I began to pray, and I was asking the Lord to give us something for this morning. The first thing, I know I've shared this with you before, the first thing, though, when I pray, I say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins and cleanse me. Do you know that we all have probably sinned since we left the house this morning? If you traveled or you drove much on the road this morning, you understand what I'm saying? You might have got to the McDonald's this morning to get your breakfast and somebody made you snap. And you thought things you might not have said. But in your mind and in your heart, it could be sin against a holy God. Amen. You might have saw something this morning you shouldn't have seen. You might have listened to something already today that you shouldn't have listened to. So I think we got to be very careful if we're going to approach a loving, holy God. And the first thing is say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me, Lord, of all of my unrighteousness. And I said to myself, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sins. I had to pull over on the side and just kind of get a grip on myself for a minute. I said, Lord, I need you to do something for me. I need you to give something to the church. But Lord, I don't want to stand before you on this morning unclean before you. Have you ever just really got serious with the Lord? Or we believe in prayer, don't we? Amen? I know you get in trouble, or you get sick, or you got something going on in your family. Maybe you got something going on with a husband, a wife, kids, whatever the case. We all have problems sometimes. And when we get in those kind of problems, boy, we know how to pray, don't we? And we're going to enlist help. People send me texts and say, Brother Allen, please help me to pray about this. And I send them out to you and say, hey, please help me to pray. But we must realize that when we call on a holy God, that we need to call on Him, first of all, for cleansing so He can hear us. Amen. But I did that yesterday morning. I said, Lord, I just need you to hear me. I'm going to be real transparent with you. I said, Lord, sometimes I just feel like I do some of the stupidest stuff. You say, how in the world, why in the world would you talk to the Lord that way? He knows me. Amen. And that scares me sometimes that He knows me like He does. Because He knows our, not just what we do, not just what we say, but He knows our every thought. But I said, Lord, would you please forgive me and cleanse me? As crazy as you know that I am, Lord, I stand in need of your touch. He knows where we are. He knows what we're going through. Turn with me over to John chapter number 5. Just a page back or so. In John chapter number 5, we're going to look at verse number 2. He knows what we're going through. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. They're going through some stuff. Amen. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, he was made whole of whatsoever disease that he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity, notice this, 38 years. Now this guy's been at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years waiting for a healing. When Jesus saw him, you think this is just a coincidence? No, I don't think so. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time, in that case or in that situation, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? What kind of question is that, Lord? I've been laying here by this pool for 38 years, and every time I think I'm going to be able to get in, every time the angel comes and stirs the water, I try to make it over, but every time I do, somebody jumps in the front of me, and they get healed, and I don't. And here I am. And Jesus comes up on the scene and says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You may be going through something this morning. You've been struggling with it for a long time. And the Lord this morning is asking you, would you like to get this situation taken care of? Would you be made whole this morning? And your question would be, Lord, you know I've been praying about this for years and you hadn't done anything yet. Of course I'd like to be made whole. Of course I'd like to have this situation taken care of. There's nothing that we are challenged with that has taken him by surprise. He knows all about it. Sometimes this morning it's physical situations. Sometimes this morning it's financial situations. Sometimes it's a family problem, relationship issues. Maybe it's your kids. If you've got kids, you've got problems. I didn't mean that the way it sounded. I don't mean that your kids, well, maybe. But we all go through struggles, whatever the situation. If you're still in school, that's a struggle. Whatever it is, he knows about it. Not only that, but he already knows what he's going to do. This morning, CJ, Brother David, and myself were up here, and we were talking about and speaking about the church. Do you realize this morning? Now, we said we believe that God knows all things. Amen. Do you think that God knew we were going to be without a pastor? If he knows all things, he knew it. Amen. I got some good news for you, though. He already knows, Brother Ceylon, who the next pastor is going to be here at Calvary. He already knows. And you're like, well, why don't he enlighten us? Maybe it's because we haven't gotten into the place to where we can get the understanding. Or maybe it's because we are just stubborn. But I'm telling you this morning that if we will get serious, you say, oh, we're serious. We've been serious. How long have we been without a pastor, Brother Ceylon, you know? There you go. Since August. Somebody count them months up for me. Been a minute, hadn't it? And we probably, each one of us, at one time or another, if we were to be real honest, we'd say, I wish they'd go ahead and find us a pastor. I get it, because now and then you have to listen to me. I understand. We need a pastor. Would you agree? We need a spiritual leader following God, taking us in the direction that God wants us to go. Amen. How are we going to find out what God's answer is? I know it sounds simple, but he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from those old wicked ways we have, fall on our face before a holy God, then will he not hear from heaven and answer our prayers and heal our what? Our land. It's not this land is your land, this land is my land. I like that and all. But our land right now is Powder Springs. And it's this group of people in this church. Jesus did it all with 12. And one of them was the devil. But you think he didn't know that too? I'm here to tell you this morning that he knows it all. He knows how long we've been going through this. He knows who our pastor, our next pastor, is going to be. He knows we've been going through it, but God. He will make this test a testimony. We're being tested. We're a group of people. We are just one happy family most of the time. Amen. We're just a happy family. We are the children of God. We are a church. The choir went back and picked up that song that says, "We are still the church. We will go forward, not backward." If we continue to look in the rearview mirror, and I'm guilty of it. If anybody in this building is guilty of it, it's me. Because I tend to look in the rearview mirror, Brother Ceylon, and I see how things used to be and how wonderful they were. But God, He's still got a plan. And we say it. Brother Dwayne Swan sat there and poured his heart out to God last Sunday and said, "Lord, we don't believe that you are finished with Calvary." We can say it. But until we believe it, Brother Larry, enough to find our face before God, wherever your altar is, we won't see it. And if we keep playing church with a holy God, you know those words that said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." We don't want him to write Ichabod over the door. I don't know about you, but I want to see God do something in this place. How's he going to do that? We need to exercise. That's a bad word, isn't it? Exercise. But we need to exercise faith over fear. In Mark chapter number 5, and I'm almost done. In Mark chapter number 5, there are several verses there. If you want to go back and read them, I won't take the time to do it right now. But in Mark chapter number 5, verses 21 through verse number 43 or so, we find some very familiar scripture. But I want to tell you this morning that he said, be in verse number 36, we'll just read that. It says, "And soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue," hear me, "be not afraid, only believe." Be not afraid. You owe it to yourself to go back and read through that chapter. If we have a need this morning, and we do, we have a need maybe individually, maybe as a family, in our homes, and we have a need here at the church, if we realize that this morning, and we feel the need, then we need to pray. And that is great. But if you're going to pray, you need to pray believing. If you don't believe that God has it all under control, there's no need to bring it to Him. But you need to pray in faith, believing that God is able to take care of the need. Here's what we need, first of all. We need to ask God to do something in us individually. Amen? We need to ask, "Lord, please, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Help me to be clean before you so that you can use me. And then we need to have him to bless and touch our home. If he'll touch me individually, if he'll touch my home, then he can touch the church. Amen? That's a great order to be in. Get yourself cleaned up before God. Get your house cleaned up before God. And God will do something great in the church. Amen? I saw something yesterday. I was sitting there looking over the message and writing down a few notes. And I looked over on my phone and it dinged. And it was Randy's face. Right in the middle of me trying to talk to the Lord, and Randy's face popped up. I gave it a little bit before I went over and opened it up to see what it was. But the Lord works in mysterious ways. Amen? Yeah, it is kind of funny. He'd use old Randy. But I'm here to tell you, I got up and I did exactly that. I went and fixed me something to drink, and I sat back down at the island where I was studying. I thought, well, this would be a great time, just punch on this. I hope it ain't nothing foolish. I opened it up, I punched on it. And this is exactly what I saw. Brother Randy, you back there? If this...
And years ago in a book I read, it said that there was a little town that was going through a drought, and the livestock was dying, crops were withering away. Town was suffering because of the drought that had hit that land. Pastor in that town called for a prayer meeting. In that church, it filled up with every farmer in the community, every businessman in the community, the families of that community. They all joined on the inside of that church. And when they had no other resources, they had the prayer place where they could pray and ask God to help in time of need. Here come a 14-year-old girl walking down the center aisle of the aisle of the church, and she was dragging an umbrella behind her. They said, the preacher said, honey, what are you doing? She said, I thought we're here to have a prayer meeting for rain. He said, we are. She said, well, how come y'all ain't got umbrellas? I felt like the Holy Ghost told me before I left the house, if I really believed that God was able to take my umbrella with me. They said that girl inside the church opened up her umbrella and began to pray. Out of nowhere, the clouds begin to form. One raindrop began to fall. 14-year-old girl walked out on the lawn with her umbrella and said, I told you, my God's able. We don't just serve a God that hears our prayer. We serve a God that can answer our prayer. Get your umbrella out and get ready for God to send the rain.
Hey. Y'all can sit there if you want to. I'm done. But let's meet God in prayer and see if he won't send the rain. Hey, we might not be going through a drought. Well, we are going through a little bit of drought. It's dry out there. But I'm here to tell you this morning that I don't believe that it's just the weather that we need to worry about when it comes to drought. I'm afraid, Brother Don, that we've come to a place in our life to where we are in a spiritual drought. Why? Because we don't spend the time in God, with God, on our knees before him, asking him to do something in our life. We believe it's serious enough, but are we really willing to be the ones that would pray believing? I think with all of my heart, it's time, Brother Jeff, that we get the umbrellas out and go ahead and believe in what God's going to do. If you want to pray with me, you can. I'll meet you in the altar this morning. We don't need a song. We don't need anything. We're just going to gather if you want to, and we'll pray and ask God to do something in his church because, hey, we need the move of God. Hey, man, bring your umbrellas on down and let's just pray.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter,
this morning and there's never been a time in your life and in your heart that you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. And I know this has been more a message for the church, but maybe the Lord's speaking to you and saying, Brother Allen, I've been praying about it for a long time and I've just never really stepped out by faith and asked Jesus to come into my heart. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus, this would be a great day for you to come while He is near. Would you come? I'll pray with you. Others will pray for you. We'll show you from the Word of God how you too can be saved. If not now, please, I ask you a question. When and why would you put Him off any longer? Yesterday we had the funeral that I was at, that I was working yesterday, was a young 22-year-old lady. 22-year-old young lady. And she could find no greater choice in her life than to take her life a week or so ago. 22 years old. All of life ahead of her, it seemed. But the choice that she made was to end her life. I watched the video, and there was some of her nieces and nephews that were probably about 3 or 4 years old. How are you going to explain to them? I've been pondering this for several days and it has weighed so heavy on my mind. But we don't know what someone is going through. Amen. We don't know what's on someone's heart, what's on someone's mind. So please, let's pray for those that stand in need of prayer. But if you have never been saved, find someone today. If not now, find someone today that can show you from the Word of God how you too can be saved. I ask you this morning, has the Lord spoken to your heart today? Can you go away this morning and say, Brother Allen, don't thank me, but thank God. If He spoke to you today, take this home with you. Church, it's time that we be about the Father's business. We have a community here that needs Jesus. If He would choose to use this church one more time, we just might need to get serious and ask God to do it now. Thank you for being here today. Any other words that need to be spoken? If not, all hearts and minds are clear. Thank you. If you'll stand, we'll be dismissed this morning in a word of prayer. Thank you again for being at Calvary today, and I pray that the message has been a blessing. Brother Ceylon, would you close us in a word of prayer?